He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday edition. We'll call it Rare Earth Monday today. We're on this October 13th, 2025. The Rare Earth issue is really in play, and the stocks are really in play today. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst and rare earth specialist. And we have got a rebound in the market. We're not getting it all back, but we're getting maybe 60% back of what we lost on Friday after there's been a cooling between the rhetoric between China and the U.S. over what? Rare earth minerals, elements. The Dow is up 484 points right now. That's 1.1%. We're back to 45,964. The NASDAQ is up 2.1%. That's 458 points, and it's at 22,663. The S&P 500 is up 1.45%. It's up 95 points to 6,647. And I like the fact that interest rates are remaining low today. The bond market closed on Friday at 4.05, but I think it's closed today maybe for Columbus Day. So that's why it's staying.
Yeah, bond market's flat today.
Okay, that's why.
It's unlike the earth.
Non-correlated to the rest of the market. Gold has not closed today. Another new high. It's up 2.9% to 4,115. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Rare Earth Stocks Now show, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst. And all of a sudden, states like Utah and Nevada, a little bit of New Mexico, a little bit of maybe Arizona, some of the copper mines, some of the coal mines, etc. Forget about gold, forget about silver. Even though gold is hitting 4,115, and guess what silver is at? $50.10. I heard there's a massive short squeeze going on in silver, but how about the short squeeze in the rare earth stocks, which we'll get to here in a moment? Well, we also say there's a never a dull moment in the market, and who knew? I mean, when we went home Friday, the last 6 hours of the day were marked by heavy selling in the markets after, you know, she announced a few days prior to that that they were going to start restricting the distribution around the world of their rare earth supplies, which they have about 60%. So that have been found now. Now there's a search on for rare earth. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they also have 90% of the refining capacity. Why? Because it's a very dirty industry. And the U.S. closed down and got rid of the refineries for rare earth, and they offshored them to China. Now it's coming back to bite us. And now we are building. I talked to somebody yesterday, said they're building a big rare earth refinery in the state of Utah, where they're also finding rare earth. Well, it all began Friday, or probably all began Wednesday, with the announcement from Xi, which was followed up on Friday during market hours. I mean, couldn't Trump have waited till the market closed? But he said, okay, that does it. I'm going to slap 100% tariffs on a lot of important things that we give to China. And before it was over, the Dow was down on Friday, 918 points. So you're getting about half of that today. The NASDAQ was down 820 points on Friday, and you're getting about half of that also back today. And we didn't really know. I mean, who knows where that was going to go from here? In my mind, I really wanted to say in my newsletter, I really don't think either side wants their markets to get crushed right now. China is having a good comeback year in their markets. I mean, Trump's popularity, obviously, very much tied to the markets and the economy, etc. His popularity wasn't so great in March when the markets were reeling and all the tariff wars taking place. Then the market's been hitting new highs recently, and then came this, and you go, wow, what's going to happen next? And in the newsletter, I basically just said, look, it's too soon to even predict which way this is going to go. Although in my mind, I really didn't think it would go very far. But yesterday about 1 o'clock, 1 to 2 o'clock p.m., Trump announced, things will work out okay. Well, thank you for that after Friday's big announcement.
And that's all it took for the for the market to be up 2%. Yeah, I was looking through our holdings, and I see one name in the red that we own. That's Lilly at the moment, down about 0.5%. Everything else is in the green.
MP Materials is up 16% right now, and Cameco's up 6.5%, and Taiwan Semi's up 5.5%, and the Chinese stocks, Alibaba coming back, it's up 4.6%. But Trump downplayed the rift with China. Thank you for that. And he said, it will all be fine. Okay. I didn't catch that news. I was with grandchildren all afternoon. And believe me, there's not, I didn't even know where I was crazy. I had six of them here, and they were playing hide-and-go-seek and chasing each other through the house. And I was cooking dinner, and other than that, it was a normal day at the Gunderson household. But it was a big birthday bash, okay? So I didn't see the Trump news, and as I laid down in my bed last night, absolutely exhausted, I said, I better check the – I didn't really want to check the futures, Gary, because I expected the worst. Futures down 900 for Monday. No, they were up 400 or 500 points. I go, what in the heck? And I learned about that news. And then I got up this morning, and the futures were up even more than that, 500. And then Bessent toned it down just a little bit. He says, well, we're going to be meeting this week, okay? There's still work to be done, in other words. Nothing is done yet. But that cooled it off a little, but now you can still see. I mean, we're up over 400 points. The U.S.
It just tells you how fickle, I mean, how, you know, when, as you talk about all the time, when markets are at all-time highs, it doesn't take much to turn that tone, right?
It's kind of like musical chairs, you know, everything's going up, and when that lasts, when the music stops, when there's adverse news, everybody goes looking for a chair to sit in. And on Friday, the nuclear stocks had no chair to sit in, the critical mineral stocks had, no, they were actually up on Friday. But the AI stocks got hammered, etc., and it doesn't take much right now because we're in a very nervous kind of market. So we'll see. I mean, they're going to push back. Bessent is hoping that the dispute with China can be de-escalated. He said everything is on the table. You know, Bessent seems to be the cool-headed guy in the bunch. He says, I'm optimistic. And that's another thing I like about him. He's a very optimistic, positive, calm demeanor, which you kind of need.
He's seen a lot of different stuff. He's seen a lot of different. He's been on this side of business, and he's seen a lot of different stuff in the markets over the years.
Yes, and I think he might have said something to Trump. You know, you need to calm the markets before they open the money. They open in China like midnight or so, something like that. And they were way down in China, but they're coming back now. And he seemed to de-escalate things. He said, pointing out it's a global problem. Rare earth is a global problem. It's not just an issue with the U.S. China, you know, is going to kind of ration and restrict. They can use that like Trump's using tariffs. If you're a favored nation of China and you get along well with them, especially if you're a communist leaning country, you're going to get all the rare earth you want. And if you're the U.S., you know, they're using that as a hammer. And so, you know, obviously the fallout from that, and of course we have a lot of things that China needs, okay? Let's not forget, we're not without our own versions of rare earth over here in the U.S. And we can also play that card. But this, whoever knew that the whole world economy would hinge on these elements that end in IUM all of a sudden, but that's the way it is right now. And the rare earth stocks, I found a few more this morning that I'll mention to you, are absolutely just going bonkers. I own several in my little trading account, okay? I mean, those are like, wow. I couldn't buy these. We do own one for our clients. We own MP Materials. But those other ones, they're wild things. The UUUs of the world and the U.S. Rare Earth, USAR, etc. But man, are they flying right now. And what is going on with silver and gold today? We'll be right back on this Rare Earth Monday and Columbus Day, don't forget.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Silver prices reached their highest in decades on Monday as a historic short squeeze in London. Now, who would ever thought? You know, there's all kinds of things that move asset classes, but a short squeeze in London's what doing it today. And the U.S.-China trade tensions roiling the markets, while gold notched another record high driven by safe haven demand. Concerns about a lack of liquidity in London drove silver to $52.50 an ounce for a while this morning, which is a record from 1980. That was the record run when they tried to corner, the Hunt brothers tried to corner the silver market. Benchmark prices in London have also soared to near-term unprecedented levels over in New York, prompting some traders to book cargo slots on transatlantic flights for silver bars, an expensive mode of transport typically reserved for gold. Silver's, I mean, heavy. That's heavy stuff. It takes a lot of silver to equal $1 million. I mean, gold doesn't take as much because at $50 an ounce versus, you know, $4,100 an ounce, it takes a lot less gold to equal $1 million to profit off the massive premiums in London. So that's what's going on today in the precious metals markets. The Chinese stocks are rebounding today. They took it on the chin on Friday. A lot of the big names were down 7 to 8%, because in a trade war, yes, we lose big time, but China also is a big loser in a trade war because, you know, they depend on the U.S. to buy their stuff. And that's a very important market for China. They claim that they don't need us, but we'll see. I mean, if we ever said, okay, no more buying of Chinese goods, there's a total embargo, I think that would hurt China quite a bit.
Well, but the U.S., I mean, I saw where their, I guess in September, their U.S. exports, I think, were down 27% or so. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's a sizable,
that's a lot.
And that's probably a number reported by them,
yeah.
Which means it's probably worse.
Yeah, right? No, it's hurting them. And they're trying to, you know, they're trying to beef up relations and trade with other countries around the world, but nobody buys. Nobody is a consuming country like the United States of America. Now, if you watched college football over the weekend or the NFL football, the game begins with a kickoff. Most times into the end zone with these kickers they have nowadays. I used to like to see the kickoff returns, but you don't see as many as you used to.
Yeah, definitely not in college.
Anymore. Oh, my gosh, with these legs that these guys have. But earnings season has kicked off. Boom, into the end zone. Fastenal, GAAP EPS of 29 cents, misses by 1 cent. Let's just check how Fastenal is doing because that is the official kickoff, almost like the Rose Bowl parade. It's down 4.6%. I hope that's not an omen. 37 companies from the S&P 500 will report this week, and five of those are Dow stocks. So five of the 30 stocks this week will report earnings, and earnings season is now underway. Now, why am I calling this Rare Earth Monday? The Pentagon is moving to acquire up to $1 billion worth of critical minerals as part of an intensified effort to secure supplies of metals vital to the U.S. defense systems. You know, Barry, during COVID, we found out that we didn't have enough of the ingredients to make antibiotics, for instance, and other important drugs because we had offshored that stuff, right?
Yep.
Now, obviously, these critical metals are not just used for electric vehicles. Because look who's buying here, the U.S. Defense Department.
Yeah, big use is military use.
Military use, okay? The initiative, detailed in recent public filings by the Defense Logistics Agency, marks one of the largest expansions of America's strategic material stockpiles in years. Of course, you go back to World War II, I mean, our supplies of steel and our supplies of oil were a big advantage over Japan, who didn't have those. So, you know, when push comes to shove, those critical supplies, and that, you know, I couldn't help but think when China did the curbs last week, I go, well, you know, are they getting ready to invade Taiwan or something?
Right.
And all of a sudden they're putting a wall, a firewall around their critical supplies. And they definitely are used for defense. And that's why this is such a big, big deal. Recent DLA solicitations include up to $500 million for cobalt, $245 million for antimony. We've been talking about U.S. antimony, UAMY. Rio is also a rare earth player, Rio Tinto, which is a global basic material stock. So anyways, I've got some more here to talk about, but we're building a big stockpile just in case of all of these elements. The U.S. antimony sources raw material now from Canada, Mexico, Australia, Chad, Bolivia, and Peru. And this is about Rio. And we're talking about a deal now with U.S. antimony, which I've talked about here on the air. They are declaring this a national emergency. Okay, so here's a few new ones. Okay, MP is still the big one out there, which is Mountain Pass by south of Las Vegas on the California border. How about Neocorp, NB? Okay, I discovered that one last week. And in Market Smith, it lists what these companies do for a living and where they're located. And I can look up a short-term chart, a long-term chart. If you look at MB, NB is engaged in the exploration of niobium, hence the Neo name, scandium, and titanium. These are all very important elements. It's up 11.3% today. It's headquartered in Centennial, Colorado. Centennial, Colorado, which also could be a hotbed there. It seems to be up in that region of America, Utah, Wyoming, where there were coal deposits, don't forget.
I'm going to have to give me a periodic table for the office wall, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I am, and I'm gonna memorize these elements that end in IUM. Now, my ancestors helped settle Tooele, Utah, and just over the hill from Tooele, Utah, is the Kennecott Copper Mine, a giant copper mine, and many of my ancestors worked in the mines there in that area. And I've got a hunch there's a lot of rare earth in that area between Nevada. That's on the Nevada border. Crazy stuff happening. They're even firing up old silver mines in Nevada looking for rare earth. We'll be right back.
Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much. And he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back to this Best Stocks Now show, Rare Earth Monday edition. The rare earth news is just pouring in. Barry, the U.S. is going to build, and it should be operational in the late fall of 2025. GM is a big investor with the company out of Germany, VAC, to build a sintered neodymium iron boron rare earth magnet plant in Sumter, South Carolina.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To be operational in the late fall of 2025. It broke ground. You know, our governor, McMasters, he's been very active in bringing nuclear. Well, someday we're going to just be blown to smithereens. I feel bad about that little plant there in Tennessee with the they were testing.
Yeah, they make landmines. They make other other things that military uses, explosives. Just coming tragedy, just completely leveled the entire place. No survivors. It's interesting to see how do you figure out what happened.
There's no evidence left, but something went wrong big time. Now here in South Carolina, we've become a big nuclear center with the venture capital backed company, the Nuclear Company, headquartered in Columbia, South Carolina, and now we're building the first magnet plant in the U.S. right here. Sumter's maybe, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah, hour and a half at most. Yeah, it depends on which way you go from here. You got to go down a few country roads to get there. But, I've been there, I don't know, walked around downtown, and it's kind of a big, kind of a revived city for South Carolina, which makes sense, I guess, if they've
It's going to be 2,500 jobs.
Yeah.
90% of the factory's output will go to GM. GM locked that up, and that's why you're seeing these companies go out and locking up deals with not only nuclear energy, but, I know Tesla made a big deal. Apparently, they have all the rare earth that they need because of their connections with China. And then the Pentagon later announced funding for the new VAC plant, which will be in MP, Mountain Pass. And they'll only be supplying the DOD. In other words, GM's not going to get any of that. That's going to go to the U.S. government. Department of Defense, or the Department of War, agreed to invest $400 million for a stake in MP. That is the one that we own. GM also struck a multi-year deal supply with Noveon Magnetics. That is not public, with rare earth magnets delivering starting in July. So all of a sudden, magnets are a big deal. You know, I grew up with an artist as a father, and I did the inventory at our billboard company, and we ordered a lot of cobalt blue. I bet the price of a quart, we used to buy it by the quart, like I'd buy 8 quarts at a time of cobalt blue. You open up the can, and it's just like butter. It's beautiful, and the blue color. And obviously those blue eyes of the Marlboro man had a lot of cobalt blue, and the sky behind the horses and everything had a lot of blue. Our white was made from titanium. There was a time when it was made from lead, They found out lead wasn't so good to be handling. I remember the red that we used was cadmium red, beautiful red. And there was also, I think, a cadmium orange, alizarin crimson, just beautiful colors. I mean, I loved opening up those cans and seeing that stuff that my father would move around with some paintbrushes and create a portrait that looked just like the Marlboro Man. Critical mineral stocks rally on U.S.-China tensions. Okay, so here you go. You've got Mountain Pass, MP Materials, obviously. They're the big one. It was up 12% this morning. And this is on top of the moves they've already made, which has been just hellacious. You've got Trilogy Metals, TMQ. You've got Lithium Americas, which was in the news the last couple of weeks, LAC. You've got Energy Fuels, UUUU, up in the upper right-hand corner of Utah. You've got Critical Materials, CRML, which I believe is down there by Mountain Pass. You've got USA Rare Earth, which is USAR. And then you've got some that trade on the pink sheets that you should really look at. Okay, these trade big volume. Australia has a big rare earth stock, ARAFF. Just remember, these are high risk, okay? These are out there. These are mining stocks. And some of these that trade on the pink sheets, are even riskier because some of them don't have the liquidity, but they have enough liquidity for the average investor. And then there's Lynas Rare Earths. That's a very big one, LYSCF. I believe it's in the app. I've got to add these Australian ones. ASMMF is Australian Strategic Materials. And then the China one I put into the app, which is the largest rare earth stock in the world, ZIJMF. ZIJMF. Who ever thought that there would be this rare earth issue? I guess it's really brought about by the electric vehicles. Which really brought this to the surface. And I would guess the advanced weaponry that we're developing. Now, wait, I'm not done yet. J.P. Morgan starts a $1.5 trillion security and resiliency initiative. Jamie Dimon says that we're going to invest in four areas where we lack here in America. Now, once again, $1.5 trillion. Start spreading that around a bunch of pink sheet rare earth stocks. That's like an elephant getting into the bathtub, right?
Be making a new market right there.
Yep. Yeah. They're going to invest in supply chain, advanced manufacturing, including pharmaceuticals, critical minerals. Okay, this is the other key phrase, critical minerals. And robotics, number one. Number two, defense and aerospace, which would be autonomous systems, drones, next generation connectivity, satellites, secure communications. Number three, energy independence and resilience, including battery storage, grid resilience, and distributed energy. And here come in the Vistras of the world and the Talon Energies, etc., Constellation. And lastly, they're going to invest in frontier and strategic technologies, including AI, cybersecurity, and you guessed it, quantum computing. So they've got $1.5 trillion to throw around coming from J.P. Morgan. Now, wait a minute, we're not done yet. But this isn't rare earth that I know of. PepsiCo is starting a venture capital arm aimed at early stage and high growth companies. But these are going to be in the food and protein and innovation out on that frontier. But I got to believe that it will trickle into, they'll find a use for some of these things we're talking about, even in the food industry. So there you go. I mean, there's the rare earth news, and these stocks are just absolutely in fuego right now. And there is a rare earth ETF. Now, in my book, if you're just somebody that wants a little bit of exposure, I believe it's RARX. Let me make sure that's right. I think you're going to start to see. Now, Barry, here's what happens. All of a sudden, there's an explosion of rare earth ETFs. That's not the symbol. I got to figure out what that symbol is. There is a rare earth. Maybe it's rare. R-A-R-E. That would be logical. Nope. Okay, I'll figure out what it is. But anyways, what happens when all these ETFs start
R-E-M-X.
Popping up?
Huh? R-E-M-X is the one. You're
oh, yeah. So Remix. R-E-M-X is Van
Eck. That's the
Van
Eck one, yeah.
It's already got $1.2 billion in it. It's up 14% today on six times normal volume. You know, that's another concept from Can Slim. The S in Can Slim is shares outstanding. When you have a limited amount of shares in a stock and the buying comes in, you're going to push that baby. You know, because all of a sudden you've got the demand outstripping the supply. So that's another concept in Can Slim Investing, which I employ, but I add the V, which is valuation, which I think is equally important as the momentum side of the equation. Oh, this is a lot of fun. We'll come back for the final segment of today's show.
You got to go.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, the Rare Earth Monday edition. Now, I'm headed down to Florida the middle of this week, and I'll be speaking Friday at the South Florida Business Conference at the St. Regis Hotel. They're on Longboat Key in the Sarasota area. And my nephew will be the kickoff speaker at 9:30 a.m. speaking about innovative, disruptive technologies. He's the guy. He's a Ph.D. from Stanford. He was Clay Christensen's recruited by Clay Christensen to Harvard. Clay Christensen wrote the book on disruptive technologies. They did many papers together. Clay Christensen has since passed away, but my little nephew carries on the. He's my big nephew. He's a pretty big kid. He was quarterback in high school down there, Barry, at Palmetto High School. And then he'll speak, and then I'll speak on disruptive companies that are publicly traded in the market, how to spot them, how to invest in them, et cetera, et cetera. And then Newell White will speak. He is an expert on private equity and their involvement in finding disruptive companies, many times before they're public. And that brings up another issue. I read another article over the weekend about this push by Wall Street to offer private debt and private equities to the general public. Now, having said that, okay, I'm very much against this because of the high risk involved. But there has been an ETF, PSP, you can look it up. It has chronically been listed at the bottom of my sectors for years. It's a ETF that buys a lot of private equity, okay? So this is not a new concept. But if it's underperformed so poorly over the years, it's reminiscent to me of the private REITs. And I said back then, why do you need to buy a private illiquid REIT with high fees that pays a big commission to the broker when there's a ready supply of publicly traded REITs out there? It makes no sense. But I knew the reason why is because there were big commissions involved to these brokerage houses. Now, I'm not a brokerage house. In other words, there are no commission products here. It's all fee-based. You know, look, God bless the brokerage houses that also sell things, you know, like this to other people, and everybody has to do their thing, and you as a buyer have to be aware of what you're buying. But there is a massive push in the industry right now towards private debt and private equity being made available to the general public.
Yeah, and we even, can't take commissions. Yeah, I mean, it's not.
No, we can't. But I believe they're creating products for us, right, that are fee-based only.
Right. Basically, essentially, they package them up, and then folks could, you know, essentially charge a fee on top of them in terms of, quote-unquote, assets under management. Right?
And they'll basically be ETFs or, like, some kind of unit investment trust or something like that. But I have no interest. It's high risk. It's highly illiquid. It's not going to end well. You know, a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley will tell you, what's the percentage of venture capital that doesn't work out? A high percentage. Now, they've got big bucks to spread around, right? And they can afford. I'm going to say it's 90%, 85, 90% that don't ever make it. And for individual investors to take on that kind of risk, to me, I don't like this. I wish that the SEC would step in and stop it. But it's going to be a big deal, and I get an email every day from one or another vendors. And guess what? I mean, they're holding these private assets, right? These guys that create these funds, they go out and buy a bunch of private debt. They're holding it. They're at risk. And they've got to sell it to you as quickly as they can to offload that risk, right? Otherwise, they're left holding the bag. So it just becomes...
Yeah, they're looking for liquidity, you know.
Absolutely. It just becomes almost like, I don't know, it's almost cannibalistic, that kind of behavior that I see. I would avoid it at all costs. And it's being pushed off as... This has only been available to wealthy investors. Now we're making it available to the little guy, okay? Or this is one of the hottest things. Where else can you get 10% or more yields on debt? Well, I mean, Barry, when we look at the bond market, when we see 7% red flags go up, and we look at the underlying stock and we understand why it's 7%, at 10%, it's like this is the worst of the worst, and private debt is even further out on the limb than that. What I'm waiting for them to come up with is an inverse private debt ETF.
Yeah, right.
That's what I let's tell ProShares. You've got your friend at ProShares, right? He calls us all the time. Tell him, hey, we want, Bill Gunderson wants you to come up with an inverse private debt ETF. You know, that's what that guy did in The Big Short. He knew that those mortgage bonds were going
to
blow up. And
he
went out and they created a vehicle for him to invest in, right? A bunch of banks got together.
The trick was figuring out a way to short them, essentially.
Yes.
I mean, that's what he had to figure out. He's like, hey, this stuff is going to go to, you know, go to zero or close to it. And he had to figure out where in the industry can I find.
Well, having said that, there's three private debt ETFs out there right now, and you can short an ETF. Now, you'd have to look and see. You'd have to try it to see if there were enough shares out there that people are willing to loan for you to short. But right now, that would be the vehicle, would be to look for a private debt. I named three of them last week during the show. And then go inverse on them, because I just don't think it's going to end well at all. All right, well, we're out of time on this Rare Earth Columbus Day, Indigenous People Day Monday. The bond market is closed. Interest rates are holding steady at 4.05, but the market is very active, and I can't wait to dig in here. I got about 800 charts to look at over the next several hours, and it's going to be a blast. To get in touch with us, to interview us about managing portfolios for you, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or to get 4 free weeks of the newsletter and the app. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and contact us if you're interested in the business conference on Friday in Sarasota. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.